That's so cool. I'm going to get one of those installed at Redcliffe. Just appear from the side. Fantastic. My name is Hendrico. I'm the location pastor at Redcliffe. If you haven't met me yet, it's because you're new. I've been here for a while. I came into this church, came through those doors at the age of 20. And I'm not going to tell you how long ago that was. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to the PM crowd. You guys, I was nervous, all right? I'll let you know. I was actually a little nervous. I was, when Pastor Mark said, hey, you preach at the PM, that's how he does it. Yeah, you preach. And then, so he says, hey, yeah, Hendrico preaches at the PM. I got nervous. I like preaching to the Redcliffe people. They know me. They laugh at my jokes. They get me. I love them. They love me. But you guys, I have no idea. I've just got no idea what's going to happen tonight. Thanks, Pastor Mark loves me, and this I know. Awesome. Title of my message this evening is Truth, Love, Freedom. And I titled it that because that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at truth, we're going to look at love, and we're going to look at freedom tonight. And I really believe that people in this place are going to walk out in freedom after I finish talking. And it's not because of my words. It's not because of what I have to say. But I really believe that people are going to encounter truth. They're going to see truth. Truth is going to be revealed to them tonight. And through the truth being revealed to you, love will be shown tonight. And because of love, you're going to walk out in freedom tonight. And that's my prayer. That's what I really believe for us tonight, that we're going to hear the truth, which reveals love, and we're going to walk out in freedom. Let me pray, and then we're going to get into it. Father, I just thank you so much for an opportunity to get around your word together tonight. We can open up your scripture. We can learn from it. We can be things can be revealed to us through it, and we can walk out in freedom because we've met you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, first off, I just want to establish something really quickly. This book here, this truth, no matter what you tell me, no matter how passionate you are in trying to tell me this isn't truth, no matter how eloquent your explanations are and your debate is and anything like that, that doesn't change the fact that this is truth. There's nothing in this world that's going to change the fact that this is truth. The Word of God, the Bible, is truth. Just like 2 + 2 = 4. It's just truth. And you can come up with some formula or whatever it may be to try to convince me that no, it's 5 or no, it's 7 or whatever else, it's X. No, 2 + 2 = 4. And that's truth. Just like the Word of God is truth. I want to speak about something truthful that happened, or not so truthful that happened this week. I was playing golf with Pastor Jack, and we were playing this in a format called Stableford. Now, when you play Stableford golf, what happens is you don't really keep score so much on how many times you hit the ball. It's more to do with the points you get for getting it in the hole. And now I'm playing golf with Jack. He's having a great first nine. I'm having a horrible, horrendous first nine. Pastor Mark said he saw me angry. I don't recall getting angry. So Jack's having a great nine. And then all of a sudden, a couple of holes go by and Jack goes, just put me down for 8. Just put me down for 9. Just put me down for 7. What Jack was doing is he was not even on the green yet. And he's like, I'm done with this hole. Just put me down for whatever doesn't get me a point for Stableford. So in his mind, he's like, I'm not cheating. I'm just playing Stableford. And I'm like, no, that is cheating because I'm counting strokes here. No. So he beats me by 4. But did he really? That's the question I have for the jury tonight. Did he really beat me by 4? Truth, Jack's truth is that he won. But the truth is, no. The truth is, we don't know. We just don't know because there was a hole or two that I said put me down for something as well. But that's neither here nor there. The truth is, Jack cheated. No. The truth is, Jack and I are not good at golf. That's just the truth. Oh my God. You know, Pastor Mark's really second guessing if he's going to invite us out again. It was a real pastoral catch up. That's what that was. And I need another one because of it. Now back to the Bible. What is written on these pages is truth. And there are people that are smarter than me that have gone through incredible research and gone through incredible digging into actually proving that what is written in here is truth. And we're going to hear about that next Sunday night with Mark Bromley that's going to be preaching. And this is truth. And I don't have the degrees to tell you exactly why, but it is truth. People have gone through a lot of lengths and gone through a lot of study to try to prove that this is truth. The Bible is God's written word. It's His plan and purpose spelt out for us to be able to read. This book details God's character, His purpose, and His intent for us. We can also read about humanity's highs and lows, ultimately showing us that without God, we end up lost and in despair. But when we live our lives in relationship with our Creator, we live a life of purpose, we live a life of meaning, a life fulfilled with love, a life filled with love and hope. And even though all of that is written in this book is true and trustworthy, it still takes faith to believe it and to receive it. Man, someone can come to me and say the most factual thing about something, like a building, right? I don't know that much about buildings or engineering or something like that. And go, it's just true. And I go, okay. But it will take me some faith to believe it because I'm not going to experience it or see it per se to actually take a hold of it and receive it. And that's the same with the Word of God. Someone's going to come to you like me right now telling you, hey, it's truth. And you're just going to go, okay. But you're going to need to take some faith, a step of faith to actually see that it is truth and to receive that truth. And that truth will bring freedom. John 8 verse 31 to 32 says, Jesus said to the people who believed in Him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Yes, the truth will set you free, but only if you believe it. Imagine being stuck in a jail cell, right? You're in this cell, you're there day after day, and people walk by you and they say, hey, you know the door's unlocked, right? And you go, I'm just in the cell. No one's gonna be able to get me out. Nothing's gonna be able to get me out. And day after day, you know the door's unlocked, right? You know the door's, you know you can just walk out, and you're just sitting there. Months go by. You've grown a beard and you're a woman. It's weird. Like all these, like you're just sitting there, like so many years go by and you're stuck there and people come by. Hey, you know it's unlocked, right? Truth is the door's always been unlocked, but you never walked out in freedom because you never received it. You never took a hold of it. You never believed that the people told you, hey, you're not stuck here. This isn't meant for you. Hey, you're not supposed to be in this place. And that's what I want to come and tell you tonight. Whatever you're in right now, you're not supposed to be in that. Whatever mess you find yourself in, whatever despair you find yourself in, that's not for you. The door is unlocked. You can walk out and you can find freedom. That's the truth. The truth will set you free, but you have to believe it and act on it. Like I could sit there in that cell and believe, yeah, the door's unlocked. But if I never actually open it up, I'm still stuck. There's this incredible sequence, an incredible moment that Jesus has with these religious leaders. And they were trying to trap Jesus in this moment. It's in Matthew 22. And they were trying to trap Jesus with this question. And they come to Jesus and they go, all right, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now let's keep in mind what Jesus said in John 8. You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now what Jesus says in Matthew 22 is possibly the most important of his teachings. And if we remain faithful to his teachings, if we act it out, we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. Then how does loving God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind bring us freedom? And how does loving our neighbor as we love ourselves bring us freedom? That's a fantastic question. I'm so glad you've asked. So we're going to look at that tonight. Love your God. Jesus was talking to religious leaders when he gave this answer to their question. He was talking to Pharisees and the pastors of the day. He was saying, love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So when he's saying love your God, he knows and they know he's talking about the God that created them. He's talking about the God that molded them, that formed them, the God that took them out of Egypt, the God that led them by a pillar of cloud and a fire by night. He's talking about the God that split the Jordan, the river. He's talking about the God that led them into the promised land. He's talking about the God that constantly, time and time again, brought freedom to their life. Time and time again came through when their backs were against the wall. Time and time again, that's the God that he was talking about. And that's the God that they realize that he's talking about. And he says, love that God with all your heart, soul, and mind. So Jesus tells them to love this God. The God that we read about, the God that sent his one and only son to die on a cross and take our place, our penalty, to pay our price of sin. Love him with all your heart. Love him with all your soul. Love him with all your mind. Love him because he first loved you. Jesus was speaking to Jews, but Matthew wrote it down so that you and I can hear these same words and take hold of this truth, so that we can also be set free by it. Love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The way I see this is a familiar way or a similar way to how I love my wife. Now, I've been married we're celebrating 7 years this year. Isn't that crazy? I got married at 18. I'm kidding. There you go. She got it. So it's a similar way that I love my wife. I've given my wife my life. I've given my wife my whole being. I've given my wife, I've laid down my life for her. I love her in such a way that she's got all of me. She can ask for anything if it is financially feasible and it can happen. I'll do it for her. That's how God actually wants us to love him. That's how we ought to love him, by giving him our heart, by giving him our soul, by giving him our mind. Now, I want to quickly break down those three things for you tonight. Our heart is our emotions. It's our feelings. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Our heart determines the course of our lives. And for those who have been alive for more than 1 year, you can confirm with me that when our hearts go somewhere, our feelings go somewhere, or our emotions take us somewhere, everything changes. You know, like if you're right into sport and your team loses, it's hard, all right? The rest of the day is tough. I'm a Chicago Bulls fan and my life is tough, okay? It's difficult to support a team so mediocre. And so people understand that your feelings, your emotions actually drive you. It drives your life. It actually leads you to certain things. It determines the course of your life. So guarding our heart prevents our heart from becoming so sick that we can never recover, leaving us in a state of despair, darkness, and depression. If we don't guard our hearts, if we don't mind our emotions, if we don't take care of those things, it can lead us to a dark, dark place. But when we love God with all our heart, we are giving our heart to him, for he cares for us, for he cherishes us, for he wants to guard our hearts and he wants to keep our hearts for us. Now, our soul is the part of us that continues on after our bodies die. We will either spend eternity with God or without God. Being with God is expressed throughout the Bible as having eternal life. Being separated from God is being cast into eternal fire. Hell, I know it's heavy, but it's real. But the choice is completely ours. 1 Peter 2 verse 25 says, once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your soul. It's God who will receive our souls when we turn to him. When we love him by giving him our soul, he will guard it and he will keep it. Now our mind is our intellect, our thoughts. We are to love God by giving him our thoughts. Romans 12 verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now this verse tells me that the way we think shapes us into who we are, and who we are becoming. And it's true. What we think about ourselves becomes our reality. The picture we draw up in our minds quickly becomes the reality we walk through in our lives. But when we let God transform the way we think, we will become a new person. Learning what God's will is for our lives, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. As we turn our minds over to God out of love for him, we are formed by him into the people he designed us to be, living a life that is good and pleasing and perfect. I don't know about you, but I want to be continually formed and molded by the God that planned me, the God that even before the foundations were formed, he had me in mind. He had a future for me. He had a purpose for me. I want to be continue to be molded by that God, my creator. And that starts by me actually saying to him, I give you my feelings. And saying to him, hey, I give you my heart. And saying to him, I give you my soul. I give you my mind. Allowing him to transform me, to renew me into the person he designed me to be. The most important command is to love your God with all your heart, your soul, and mind. We do this by giving him our heart, our soul, and our mind. Now, our prophetic declaration for this year is for the one. This is how we live for the one, to love the one with all our heart, soul, and mind. Now, that's the first commandment. The second commandment is equally as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. I actually think this is one of the ones that actually trip us up the most. I think if we're being honest with ourselves, I think this one, we actually find one of the most difficult to do. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Think about it. I want to ask you a question tonight. And I want you to actually think about it. I want you to actually take a moment, pause, sit there, and take a while to think about the answer. Do you love yourself? Do you love yourself? I don't want you to yell it out, but do you love yourself? Do you even like yourself? Do you tolerate yourself? Do you consider yourself? Do you care about yourself? Are you patient with yourself? Are you gentle toward yourself? Do you actually like yourself? Now, if you struggle to answer that question, in a moment, we're going to open up the altar and we're going to pray for you that you can actually feel the love of God. That's what I really believe tonight, that every one of us will have an opportunity to encounter the love of God so that we can walk out in freedom. So my question to you is, do you love yourself? This is a vital part of being able to live out this commandment. It's just factual. We cannot love our neighbor if we don't even love ourselves. Because Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So we've got to look in the mirror. We've got to take some time to actually figure out, do we love ourselves? The way you love, the way you like, the way you tolerate, the way you dislike, or even the way you hate yourself will be the way you love, will be the way you like, tolerate, dislike, or even hate your neighbor. Think about that. When you're really in your own feels. You're stuck with yourself. There's no one else around you to try to cheer you up or lift you up or anything. And then all of a sudden you encounter someone that you didn't know. How do you respond to that person? How are you treating that person? The way you love yourself comes out. The way you tolerate yourself, the way you are patient with yourself, it comes out to other people. If we're going to love our neighbor, we're going to live for the one. We need to first figure out how to love ourselves. And to do that well, and in a healthy way, we need to look at and start accepting what God says about us. Think of how much God loves us. Think of what he has already done for us and the desire that he has for us to be with him for eternity. I want the band up. You know, we are created in his image. He actually formed us and made us to be an image bearer of him, to reflect him. Genesis 1 verse 27 says, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Do you know that you were chosen from the very start? Yeah. Ephesians 1 verse 4 to 5 says, "Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure." You were chosen from the very start. Did you know that you are his marvelous workmanship? Psalms 139 verse 13 to 16 says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knitted me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it." I just want to pause there. Some people walk out in freedom just accepting that. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. When you look in the mirror, accept the fact that his workmanship is marvelous and know that. Accept that, receive that. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. "You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." God knows you. God sees you. God formed you. He molded you. He knitted you together. You are his marvelous workmanship. I encourage you to know that. To actually know that. He will always love you and pursue you. The same Psalm, verse 7 to 12 says, "I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the furthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you." You can't run from God. You might be in this room right now, not even realizing why you're here. How did I get into this room tonight? It's because you can't run from God. Wherever you go, he will be there. Whatever step you take, he will be there. If you're trying to hide from him, he's very good at hide and seek. And we are lousy, okay? We know no good hiding spots. We're hiding behind the curtain and our feet are sticking out. He knows where we are. He sees us. And if you're in a situation, you're in a place right now where you feel so far away from God, God can't see me now. I'm nowhere near God. Maybe you just got to do a 180. Maybe you just have to repent. Turn from the path that you're on, because God was where you left him. And God's just waiting for you to turn back around. If you're in this place and you just feel so lost, God's waiting for you. Turn to him. Find freedom in his arms. When we wrap our heads around the love that God has for us as best we can, then we will start to see ourselves the way God sees us. This will give us the ability to actually love ourselves. Once we get that ironed out, then loving our neighbor will become a little easier. Our challenge is to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's a command that Jesus gives us. And you knowing what you know now, you knowing what Jesus has done for you, you knowing the freedom, the love, the peace that only Jesus brings, you knowing that, you wouldn't keep that from yourself. So don't keep that from your neighbor. Love them into knowing Jesus. Love them into receiving the love of Jesus. Love your neighbor because you wouldn't leave yourself in the darkness. Romans 13 verse 8 says, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of the law. You owe nothing to anyone except to love. Love one another. And it's simple, but it's not necessarily easy. It's not easy to love our neighbor. Sometimes our neighbor annoys us. Sometimes they park in the place where you would park your car. But that's okay. You love them anyway. And for me, I might be saying this because I'm a pastor here, but for me, one of the simplest ways that you can show love to someone is to actually invite them into a space where they can encounter love themselves, where they can encounter Jesus, where they can encounter God for themselves. Bringing them to a space like this, where in worship, people are turning their attention to God. And there's this moment of peace, and there's this moment of joy, and there's this moment of almost escape from all the turmoil that you can find yourself in. Bring him to a place like this where the word of God, the love of God is declared from this platform, where God's love is boldly proclaimed, that he loves all of us. Bring him to a place where they can be prayed for. Bring him to a place where they can have an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's how you can love them. It's simple. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's simple. Give them an opportunity to encounter God the way you have. Truth, love, freedom. When we accept the truth, love is revealed to us. And that love brings freedom to our life. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, because he loves you. Because he is for you. Because the plans that he has for you are way better than what you can think of, than what you can dream up, than what you could ever imagine. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. The truth of who you are to God and what he has done for you will enable you to love your neighbor. And that's what I want us to take this evening, an opportunity to actually receive God's love, to actually say yes to his love, to walk in his love. And I'm going to ask you tonight to ask God to show you what he sees when he looks at you, and to show you what he sees when he looks at your neighbor. Ask for the eyes of God. See what he sees, and these commandments will become so much easier. With eyes closed and heads bowed in this place this evening, I want to give you an opportunity tonight. If you have not received the love of God for yourself, if you've not said yes to Jesus, making him Lord and Savior of your life, asking him to forgive you, to wipe away the debt, tonight's your opportunity to say yes, receive him, because the free gift of salvation is offered to all. Everybody can choose to be forgiven, to be set free, to receive Jesus and to walk in eternity with Him. And if that's you tonight and you haven't made that decision yet, or you know you've walked away from God and it's time to repent, change your mind. That's what that word means. To change your mind about God, to turn around and say yes to Him again. Tonight's your opportunity. Don't delay it. Don't wait. Don't sit on it. It's truth. He loves you. He is for you. And all you have to do is receive it. So if you're in this place tonight and you want to receive Jesus, I just encourage you to be brave and give me a wave just so that I know who I'm praying with tonight. With no one else looking around, it's just a moment between you, me, and God. If you're in this place and you want to receive Jesus, just shoot up your hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Is there anyone else that wants to join these people? I see the hand at the back. Thank you. Anyone else? This is your moment. I see that hand. This is your moment. This is your moment to receive freedom. This is your moment to receive the love of God. I'm going to wait just a couple of more seconds. If you want to join those people that have already made that decision to follow Jesus, it's awesome. Well, church, I want us to encourage those that have made that decision this evening. And I want you to just pray a prayer after me. Just repeat this prayer after me in encouragement with those. And if you raised your hand, I want you to pray this and mean it. And if you didn't raise your hand, but you wanted to, you're just a little afraid, I want you to pray this and mean it too. Say, dear Jesus, I give you my life. I ask you to forgive me. Purify me. Cleanse me. Make me righteous in your sight. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's celebrate with those people. It's awesome. Why don't you stand with me, church? I want to give you an opportunity. We've got some time. And I want to give you an opportunity to receive freedom tonight. If you were feeling quite down or finding that question that I asked before quite difficult to answer, this is your moment. If you're struggling to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, this is your moment. If you want freedom, this is your moment. It's there for you. You've just got to come and take it. The love of God is there for you. You've just got to receive it. The freedom that only God offers you, it's there for you. You've just got to walk into it. You don't have to sit in that jail cell anymore. You don't have to sit in that oppression anymore. You don't have to sit in that depression anymore. The door has been unlocked for you. Get up, push through. Get up, open it. Receive it. Act it out. This is your moment tonight. This is your opportunity. If you want freedom in this place, the band's going to worship. We're going to come out and pray for you. But there is freedom in this room tonight. There is joy in this room tonight. There is freedom in this room tonight, church. So you can receive it. So you can take a hold of it. God died on a cross so that you can be free. God died on a cross so that you can be saved. So receive that tonight. Come on, band. Let's worship Him. And if you want freedom, if you want to feel His love, you come forward. If you want to be accepted, if you want to find your meaning, your purpose, come forward. If you struggle with loving yourself, come forward. If you struggle with loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, come forward. Receive from Him tonight. Receive from Him tonight. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. That's my prayer for you tonight. That you will know God's love. That you will experience God's love. That you will encounter love. He's only a breath away, church. He's only a breath away. He's a cry away. He's a call away. He's a prayer away. Turn to Him. When you're feeling low, turn to Him. When you're feeling stuck, turn to Him. He loves you. There is freedom in His love, and that's the truth. Father, we just thank You so much. We can't comprehend, God, how much You love us. But God, help us to just understand a little bit more so that we can walk in the freedom that You have for us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.